Hallelujah. Stand together tonight. Sure appreciate worship service, all of it in this evening. It's beautiful. Thank you, sister. Let's get right into the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James tonight. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. You happy to be a Christian tonight?
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 1. And let's go to verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass shall he pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen upon a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the great grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I'll stop there tonight. I'd like to preach for a subject, the two vices of Christianity. The two vices of Christianity. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. In His presence now, is there a need you'd like to lift up to Him as we approach His Word? Say, Lord, you know my heart. Now let's pray. Let's invite Him with all that's in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another gathering of the saints. We thank you for another opportunity to even naturally leave the things of the world and come to a haven of rest behind your Word. Lord, knowing that if they just would have stayed behind it in the Garden of Eden, we never would have gotten this mess, Lord. And if we'll just stay behind that Word in this day, Satan won't have any room to do anything to us, Father. We pray you'd help our faith to raise in the Word of God tonight. May you speak from heaven. May I just be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost to where nobody even see me, Lord, even myself. May we know that God has spoke to us tonight. May you take your Word and bring the Spirit and give it life to each one that's here. Hear the prayers of your people tonight and set every captive free as we just got done singing. Grant it tonight, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. The two vices of Christianity. We're going to probably start a little quiet. Maybe that's why the atmosphere changed there a little bit. But a vice, if you look up the word vice, you might be thinking of the physical vice, which is what I thought of first off, which is when the inspiration came for this, that's what I thought of at first. And it's just what you think. It's two jaws that you put together and it holds something firm. You can also use vice as a verb that you make something shut and close it in and keep it tight, keep it squeezed in. But when I began to look at that, I realized that really I wanted the other definition and shown that it does the same thing as what the normal vice does. A vice as a noun is an immoral or evil habit or practice. A synonym would be a fault, a weakness, a failing, and the antonym is a virtue. So the things I'm talking about today are the things we don't want to be doing. And as we talked about last Wednesday or Sunday, getting through the book of James is really Christianity 101. It really lays out how to be one, and it lays out what not to do, brother, sister. As we read into the Gospels before, and you can go through that. That's really where you get your salvation is through the blood of the cross. Don't let me ever get away from that. Don't let any minister ever get away from that. You don't ever get away from that. No man has ever been saved by the blood.
Amen.
Everyone's been saved by the blood. Every type was by the blood. When they had a substitution, it only spoke of the real blood that we've already went through the scriptures and showed. It was already on the altar of God before there ever was a sin committed on earth, brother, sister. But now that we've come and received the Holy Ghost, trust you have tonight, because I've learned anymore, I got a kind of a reputation for being a little cut and dry, a little, I don't know, some people think I'm too black and white, but at the end of the day, brother, sister, I might have a gray suit on, but there ain't no gray in God. No, there ain't. And anytime I see somebody that, you know, and you ain't trying to exalt, you're trying to do what the Bible just said here. It said every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, not the Father of a little dimness. But the Father of lights, and He exposes darkness. So when the Holy Ghost comes and it exposes a man's darkness, and I can tell by the Spirit that the man needs the Holy Ghost, I don't have no other conversations I want to have with that man besides how to lead him to it. Amen. That's right, because we could talk doctrine, we could talk politics, we can talk churchianity, we can whine about every preacher, we can whine about every deacon, we can go through every doctrine and why it's hurt so many people. At the end of the day, brother, you're still bound. There's only one way to get out of that vice, and that's by the Holy Ghost. Amen, brother, sister. And every born-again Christian, you don't need to go find something else. What you need to break out of this vice that I'm going to be talking about tonight is the Holy Ghost that's in you. Amen. It will push out the virtue that'll kick all the vices out of the way. Amen. And there's two main things here in the book of James that we just read, and I appreciate the Lord giving me inspiration for this because I'm sure we've all read, I hope you have anyways, you've read this quite a few times. And you know, you think, well, that's a nice thought, that's good. But there's a common theme in this whole part here that the Lord showed me here, that the first thing that's wrong with man is no matter what side of the fence he's on, he can lack humility, he can be the lowest of lows and be full of pride. I just heard a study and it amazed me. They did a task like playing chess or something else like that. And there were some people that knew. They had no idea how to do it, that they were no good at it, and that they should be awful. Like, they had an understanding of that. But guess what? When they asked them, what percentage of people do you think you're better at chess than you know, the other people? And he said, without exception, those at the bottom always assumed higher than what they actually were. The closer you get to the more skilled, the more honest they were with themselves. What fills in the gap then, brother, sister? Pride. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the first thing about knitting. So if you give me a questionnaire of what percentage of people do you think you're better at knitting, I'm going to say like 2. Because I've just learned I don't have a thing about it, brother Dan. Don't offend me one bit. Don't make me mad. Don't make me upset, because I've recognized that I don't have a clue about that. That's not me being humble. That's me being real. Because a lot of people think humility is actually acknowledgement. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. A poor person I'm talking like a beggar on the street, really doesn't have a lot of room to be humble. All he's got room to be is acknowledging that, yes, I am poor, I'm a beggar, I have nothing, I've got no account, I got nothing to show forth for my life, here I am. That's not him being humble, that's him being him. Now, that man could be full of pride. He could say, oh, you might think I'm a beggar, but I'm the smartest one, man, I can play these drums like no one else, I can do a little slideshow. Yeah, what's that done for you? It puts you on the street. Why don't you go get a real job? Hallelujah. Oh, that, you've seen them. I've watched them. They put so much effort. And now our whole generation's doing that. They've been taught by the devil, put all your effort into something that has absolutely no return. That's right. If it's a video game, put your whole heart into it. So you can... There we go. All right. We're done here, right? Hallelujah. But what is humility? Humility is thinking lower of yourself, which means you've got to have somewhere to go down. What I'm trying to say is a sinner can't actually be humble. Right. There's no room for a sinner to be humble, because all a sinner can do is acknowledge themselves as worthless, as dirty, as filthy, and as grimy as we all had to at one time. Amen. We had to get down and not be anything that we weren't, but confess to God, this is what I am. I'm low down. I'm worthless. I can't do this. I've tried going to church. I tried paying my tithes. I tried to get the Holy Ghost through doing this and fasting and praying. I don't know how to do this. Like I said a minute ago, if a man's never come to that point, I got nothing else to tell you. But brother, make the trip to Calvary. Amen. Get on those bloody footprints. Get on your knees and repent of the filth that you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Dan. See, he just pulled me over there. Praise the Lord. But, brother, sister, the most humble man that ever came on earth was Jesus Christ. Now, as Brother Branham said, there's a lot of men who would have demonstrated more of what we call humility. Because a lot of times we believe humility is just you don't never say nothing bad, you don't say anything that would ever offend anybody, you just walk around. And you know what we're really saying is you're totally powerless. That's humility. You're totally powerless. You can't do anything, you can't say anything. That's not humility. Humility is thinking less of what you actually are to give glory to the other person. Hallelujah. The Pharisees, oh man, they look humble. Oh, look at this mean old Jesus. Here we are. We got the Bible right here, guys. We need to offer a sacrifice. And there, this poor beggar, he just doesn't have a... We're just going to have to sell a lamb right here in church. You know, he just can't... We understand the word. We probably shouldn't. But how else are we going to get around it? See, look at that humble, nice brother. And here come the real definition of humble. And say, wait a minute. That ain't what the word said about this. He said, my house is supposed to be called a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. And the most humble man in the world went and got 3 cords. Knowing what the scripture said about that, a 3-4 cord is not easily broken. Why? He had a lot of tables to throw down. He didn't want to make that cord break. He wanted to make sure it stayed together. He didn't. And he didn't just whip out tables. He whipped them all out himself. That's not very humble, Jesus. Yes, it is. Because what could he have done? What could he have done? They could have all been on the ground dead. Like that. Come on now, brother, sister. The only way to be humble is to have something. And then think of yourself lower than what you actually are. Come on now. You're getting quiet already. Jesus had all power, all authority, all heavens obeyed his word. But when it came time that the devil said, you know, If you really be the Son of God, you know, here's some bread. You haven't eaten 40 days. Speak to it. He said, nope. It's also written. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. And then people think that the devil quoted the scripture, but he actually coded it. If you go look at it, he said, you know, jump off the temple, you know, because the angels will come and guard you. No, it says that the angels would keep him in God's way. He left that part out. Because in order to keep that in there, he wouldn't be jumping off the temple because that wouldn't be God's way. So, brother, sister, it's just the same. I don't care what sites they come out with, quotes, what quotes they grabbed and picked and cherry-picked it and done this and showed you, oh, this is why this mess is wrong, this is why the Bible's wrong here, that's why we need to do this and that. Brother, sister, forget it. They're just coating it. They're coating it with a big layer of sin that hides the devil underneath. Oh, man, it makes it all sugary good, don't it? It just swallows it right down, but it's got poison in the core. And it'll kill your soul. What happens when a man lacks humility? He's automatically full of pride. And brother, sister, I warn you as a Christian, the devil will constantly try to get you to be proud. We shouldn't be tempted by this. If you know, we've all read Malachi 4 probably 100 times. Do you remember the first verse by any chance? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. So you think, brother, sister, that any time any thought of pride would come into us, we would say, that's the devil. But how does the devil turn it around on you? Is he puts you back in the picture of salvation. He puts you back in the picture that you have something to do with this. That the only reason you got victory is because you did this or you did. Look, you're a pretty good fella. Oh my. And what begins to happen, that little bit of leaven gets in there. And then what happens? You don't need to pray no more. I'll be all right. I got this. I'm okay. I'm spiritual. I don't need to come early. I don't need to pray. I don't need to get in the Spirit. I'm always in the Spirit. Glory to God. We're going to have church tonight, brother, sister. You know why? Because sometimes we got to break it all up. We just got to shatter it. And sometimes it ain't time to build up. It's time to tear it down. Because if the things ain't built right, who cares about making it look pretty? It's junk. Brother, sister, you got an automobile and you got a head gasket blown. I'm not going to go fix your tires. I'm not going to tell you how good you are. No, forget it. Scrap it. Find something else. And if your experience got a head gasket, how do you know a head gasket's blown, brother, sister? Because your experience ain't going nowhere. Amen. If your experience moving, I'm going to tell you what's clogging up. You might have a big well of pride getting in the way and the Holy Ghost oil can't get nowhere. Amen. And what's going to happen? You're going to blow up because whatever Holy Ghost you did have is going to catch on fire. Not the fire you want, fire of this world that's going to be destroyed. Do you know that the same Holy Ghost that's going to resurrect our bodies is what's going to destroy this planet of sin? People think that's heresy, but the Bible says He destroys them with the brightness of His coming. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter. Just a few books over. 1 Peter 5. Should say a few pages. 1 Peter 5. 5. First Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now we're getting to where we're talking about what humility is, brother, sister. The Bible just told you, humble yourself. Not make God come humble you. That's what you did to get saved. God brought you to sin. He brought you to the law. As that's how Paul says the law saved us. Not by doing the works, but that it brought us to Christ. It showed us we don't measure up. We ain't going to be able to do this. And the man who thought he was pretty good was Paul himself. A man that never did commit adultery. Come on. Didn't murder, didn't steal. Oh, he was on the sideline, but he didn't do it. He was fine. He said, according to the law of what they interpreted the law as, he said, I was blameless. But what did he say? I counted it all dung because I was still bound by sin. I was still bound in chains of darkness. I was fighting the very Lord I was trying to serve. And God brought him down, knocked him right off the high horse. How? He met the pillar of fire. And it dropped him down to his knees. And unlike most people these days who don't care, they say, oh, that was just emotion. That's just that preacher getting on me. No, Paul looked past it. He said, Lord, who are you? And he didn't want a textbook definition. He wanted a name. And he got a name. And he believed that name. Hallelujah. And now we're still reading his writings to this day. Amen. Humble yourselves. How can I humble myself? Because now that I've been changed, I've been reborn, the Holy Ghost come into my life. What does it show me? It shows me that I'm a son of God. I'm not a son of the devil. I'm not a sinner. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead to the old man. I'm now alive in God. And you recognize that all power and authority that God had put into Christ, Christ took and put it into the church. And you are a part of that, and you must recognize that. That is not pride, recognizing what the Word said about you. Pride is not recognizing all that the Word said about you. If you ever lose sight of where you came from out of the world, you'll never be a productive Christian. You will never witness right. Everyone is always bad. They're always out to get you. They never do anything right. You're the only one. A pastor, priest, doesn't matter. There ain't nobody doing this right but you. And that you look at most people's track record and say, anybody got saved through your life? No, but you sure made a lot of people mad. See, Jesus made some religious people mad, but He made some people that were hungry for God find God. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Trying to see what direction the Lord's having us go. But you see, God has given you all the kingdom, but then He tells you to humble yourself. Because if you don't, you'll begin to think that you could do something without God after God has done this for you. But what God has done for you can only be used if you stay under the mighty hand of God. Because if you get outside, you have no power to give that thing life anymore. Amen. There's no mental power, there's no mental faculties that could do it right that aren't led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Brother, sister, our way is to always say, anything I think, anything I do, if it's not the Word, I'm wrong.
Right.
I don't care who told you it.
Amen.
I've had it many times. I've had the sinners come who don't know the Word. Tell me the Word. And I've had a choice. Choice one is blast them because I know they're a sinner and say, well, I'm better than you at least. And you know what? In reality, I am better off than them because I at least have got salvation. But that's not the attitude to take because I'll lose my victory. The attitude is, thank you. You're right. Because I don't care about where you're at with the Lord. I want to know that I'm serving
exactly.
Him right.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, if we recognize the stakes of serving the Lord like we ought to, we wouldn't play around with it so much. And I'm not saying you can be lost if you've been saved. No, you can't, brother, sister. But you better know that you're saved. It says, let every man seek out his own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Make sure. Don't play around with it. If you see something in your life that still loves the world, make sure. Get back to Calvary and get that thing cut off. Because if you still identify with it, it ain't going to heaven. So how are you going?
Amen.
But the bride's predestinated, brother, sister. She every tie will come off. Everything. You have to take the faith. You have to humble yourself knowing that God's given you the power to do so. And those things will fall off, brother, sister. Hallelujah. What's wrong with men this day? They have so hard of heart. Because they can't seem to humble themselves to just say, you know what? God's pretty smart. And He probably knows better about this than I do. And instead of just doing that, they will write book after book, text after text, Facebook post after Facebook post on why they're okay. Don't judge me. Hallelujah. Listen now, accepting God's provided way at the end time, 1963. What is it? God's provided way, the resurrection way. You want to go in the resurrection? Here's the way. All right. The thing that brings a man from his stupidity into the light of the gospel, brings him from an intellectual brain like some great regimen of a machine and humbles his heart before God. Well, you say, that man is so smart, Brother Branham. He has 4 degrees. He's got a bachelor's of art. He's got all this. I don't care what he's got. He'll have to forget everything he learned in order to know Christ. That's right. He'll have to humble himself and get away from anything the world did to him. Oh, I'm just going to, I don't want to go too long. I'm just going to, brother, sister, look, you can't do it. You can't look at this generation and say, you know what, when I was a kid, at least I was like that. You still a sinner. You lived in a different age. And you know what, brother, sister? I, compared to kids now, lived in a different age. And I'm not that old. I can relate to most kids, what they're going through and things, but with how technology has taken off, just full throttle, sin is on every door. And if man can't get the Holy Ghost, you won't overcome it. There's no mental prowess to keep you free from it because it's so readily accessible, brother, sister. We all need to humble ourselves and realize if it ain't for the grace of God, there ain't one of us going to make it. I don't care what generation we came out of. I don't care what place we came out of. I don't care what trials we've had or what victories we've had in the past. If you ain't got it today, you lost it. Because what God does, He does for eternity. So if you've got the victory, brother, sister, it ought to be more now than it ever was. Amen. Just because their adversaries got bigger, it should just mean that he falls down harder. Glory to God. How can I beat him? Humble yourself. I'm trying to go one direction. Oh, Lord, just have His way tonight. You know when David came? He came to the battlefield. What did he say? He heard something. He heard a message go forth. That said, the giant's too big in this day. You can't actually overcome TV. You can't overcome lust, brothers. It's just, you're just going to have to do it. Sis, you just can't actually be modest in this day. I mean, it's just, them teenagers got to fit in somewhere. They're going to get made fun of. Giant's just too big. That's what he heard. Because they heard a giant out there boasting. And look, the intellectual giants are still here today. And they're saying the same thing, brother, sister. And what happened is the so-called church, those that should have been the ones to take the battle, were running scared. Why? Because their pride ran out. You know why? Because your pride don't match up to the devil's. The devil is so full of himself. He don't care about you. He don't care about his demons. He don't care about nations. He don't care about your feelings. He don't care about nothing but winning.
Amen.
That's right. He'll do whatever he can. And like Brother Bram said, when he's got the upper hand, he'll put you to it. He'll say, oh yeah, he's got it, boy. He's going to corner you in. And he had everyone cornered but one man.
Right.
But look what began to happen when that man began to say the word. He said, wait a minute. They said, who is this? And they began to tell him. They said, this is a giant, man. Nobody can take out this guy. And you know, I mean, he went out there for 40 days.
Right.
Just imagine that. 40 days. Every day. You bunch of cowards, come on. We've had 40 years, 50 years now. Hearing that voice too often, it's time for David to raise up and say, wait a minute. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You mean to tell me this demon-possessed, uncircumcised, no promise of God, Philistine, is stopping the armies of the Lord from taking their possession? You're here to tell me that, oh, we're just too tired of speaking tongues anymore? Are you here to tell me that, oh, it's just the revival's over, so there's no more discernment? Brother Branham ain't here no more. And don't listen to a thing he said. That's right. He said, look, this is a sign. This is the final sign. So if we're part of that, we ought to have that sign.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. He said, is there not a cause? But what began to happen, brother, sister, is that the people that should have rallied around him began to say, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You're just a little ruddy punk. Go back home. Because we know you're just really full of pride. That's what they told David. They said you just got a haughty spirit. See, if you're not saved, you will recognize Christian faith as pride. Ooh, Lord, I hope that hits real deep in home, brother, sister. When you boast in the Lord, the devil will call that pride to try to knock you down. But it's the Lord, brother, sister. You boast in the Lord with every bit of your being you can. Just like that woman came to Brother Branham and said, there's one thing I got against you, Brother Branham. He said, just one thing. Praise the Lord, I found grace in your side. He said, what is that, sis? She said, you boast too much on Jesus. She said, oh my, I hope God sees me that way, because if that's the only fault I have, I know I'm going in. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't boast on Him enough.
Amen.
And when we boast on the Lord for victory, what's the first thing the devil tells you? You're being proud. You're trying to say you're better than someone else. As long as you keep you out of the picture, that ain't true. David didn't say nothing about, what are you talking about? I'm better than you guys at throwing stones. You remember? That's not what he said. He said, is there not a cause that the word of God's laying here dormant and the devil's brought the challenge? Ain't nobody going to take it? Who are you guys serving anyways? Are you really serving a book? Because I'm not. I'm serving Jehovah.
Amen.
And I've seen Jehovah, and this man ain't got no chance because I done whipped a lion and a bear. And brother, sister, we don't even know if that was two events or one. But either way, he killed them both.
Yes.
They said, you got a haughty spirit. He said, no, I just got faith in the Lord.
Amen.
Don't you never stop for that devil. I'm telling you, that devil shows up all the time. Especially when somebody, the Holy Ghost begins to move on something, that's the first thing he's going to tell you. Somebody get free in the spirit and start going to praise the Lord, what begins to happen? Oh, everybody's going to think you're just showing off. Well, I hate to break it to you, brother, sister. There's only 20 of us here, and we don't care.
Amen.
So just let that devil leave. We're here to worship the Lord.
Amen.
I just see, you got. That's what Brother Branham said. When the devil says something, take advantage of it. Just think of that thought. You're showing off. To who? We got a medal in the background for the most worshiper? I mean, what? Because if we do, I'm not aware of it, and I'm the pastor and trustees just said amen. So we must not have it. You serve God because you love the Lord.
You worship God because it's from your heart. Is there not a cause? There is a cause. He's worthy of praise. Amen. He might have me down. He might have me tired. I'm telling you, brother, sister, I just told my wife, I'm exhausted, but I'm here having a good time in the Lord because I'm out of the picture. The Holy Ghost is in me, and He is the victor. He's our, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Fall down in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Men will come right to the presence of God. They'll come right to the situation that God has forced them in. And instead of just humbling themselves and say, you know what? I am a sinner. I can't do this. But God brought me here. And then raise up not in themselves, but in the Word. And then they could tackle the challenge and it never fails. Instead, he just gets over here and he begins to make excuses. Begins to say, oh, I'm not really that bad of a fellow, you know. I mean, I could do this if I pulled some strategy. Brother, sister, no more time for plan B's. Plan A is the Word. Just do it.
Amen.
Brother Branham says this, unconditional covenant that God made with His people in 1954. Man has always tried to find a way to save himself. He tries to make himself a religion, work out his own salvation, and try to save himself. It's the nature of man to do that. The Garden of Eden, as soon as man realized that he had sinned, and instead of him running up and down the street or the paradise there saying, Father, Father, where are you? He was hiding. And it was God running up and down the way hollering, Adam, Adam, where art thou? See the nature of man? Instead of coming out and confessing in the open and being sincere about it and saying, God, I've sinned and forgive me. He'll run and hide behind something. And the one thing Adam did, which is the greatest strain on man, he made himself a homemade religion. Now we know the word religion means a covering, and Adam, instead of saying, God cover me, he made himself some aprons of fig leaves, he and Eve. And they worked all right as long as God wasn't around. And as long as you go to a church where the Holy Spirit ain't welcome, oh, you feel great. You feel great all the time. Why do you think they keep going, brother, sister? The devil lets you feel good. He'll tell you, attaboy, you know, you came to church. Good job. Just like now, we can't actually tell kids to try to achieve and better themselves. Nope, everyone gets a trophy. You're all winners. No, we're all losers. Look, everybody thinks they're all good and we're all saints. No, we're all sinners. And it's going to take something to get us to become saints.
Right.
It's not the other way around. There's nothing needing to knock us down to make us sinners. We're sinners before we even have a chance. You come out of the womb, I'd have to teach one of them boys to lie to me. And that's right. Now they're starting to get where they're getting better at it. But instead, look, what would be the better way? Just come up and fess up. That's right, brother, sister. And wherever you find yourself, we're having a free sermon tonight, brother, sister. I don't know. Maybe we'll just have another one too. I only got one vice. I ain't even got a second one yet. But to humble yourself, what did he say? He said he brought it in James, if you're looking at it. He brought it to two groups. What did he tell? He said, you poor, rejoice in that you're exalted. He said, and you rich, rejoice that you know your riches aren't why you're secure. And what's he telling? He's bringing them both where they need to be, brother, sister. Because what has defeated the devil every time is not that God's even used his power. He proved that. He could have just blown the devil up right there when he was being tempted. But what did he do? He caught him in his own pride. He caught the devil in his own pride. And that's what's defeated the devil every time. You go all the way back to Moses when he came to Pharaoh. What destroyed Egypt? If they just would have let Israel go, Egypt would have been fine. But what happened? His pride began to raise up. And even to where Moses said, how long, you know, or the Lord said through Moses, how long will you refuse to just humble yourself before me? Let the people go. What did God say? I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to harden his heart because he's just so full of pride. He can't do nothing about it. And then later we find out in the book of Romans, Paul picked it up and he said, God hardened his heart to show his power. Because he knew, this man's so full of pride, I can't touch him no matter what I do. And brother, sister, you know that's the hardest place to find yourself. But when you witness of the Word, you're going to recognize, especially in this day, you are going to preach to those that no matter what you did, no matter what you showed, no matter what power of God has come upon you, they cannot humble themselves to the Word.
That's true.
And what will they do? They won't just say that you're wrong. They will victimize you, call you the devil. Because they're the sons of the devil. It's getting flat, but we got to, brother, sister. And second, just listen to me. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Amen. Why did they kill him? The devil's pride got a hold of him. And even though the word was sitting there, that seed of the woman would crush him, and that the blood was the atonement, that if they killed him, it was over. His pride lifted up and said, "I got the victory. I finally got him. I've killed Abel. I've gone all the way down. I got Moses to backslide and took him away, but God snuck him off somewhere." Remember, he came up later and said, "Wait a minute, I got it right." And the Lord said, "Lord rebukes you, get out of here." Because at the end of the day, he had to break it to you, God is God, brother, sister. They were disputing over that body of Moses. Where they said, "Wait a minute, I thought I had it right." He said, "Before I give you anything, I already done kept this one. I got to send him back again. Get your hands off." That's right, brother, sister. Brother Bram said, "No, he said he was a type of Lazarus. He came, he died, he lived, then he died, and then he lived again. Moses come back. I don't want to see him. I'll meet him on the other side." That's right. Because you see him here, you in trouble. But I plan on seeing him there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 14, which you're real familiar with. And this is going to lead into that second vice. Brother, sister, just stay humble before the Lord. Always believe God's word. That's being humble, is always believing the word. Always. No matter how bad you feel, no matter how much your Christian friends tell you you're being irrational, brother, you stand on that word. You're not full of pride as long as you stand on the word. But anytime you begin to exalt yourself, Isaiah 14, and begin to think you got something better than what the word said, you are full with pride, no matter how humble people think you are. Because a lot of time the man that thinks he's being humble is actually completely powerless. And the devil just pushes him pillar to post. Oh man, I don't know if we know this. People that, I can't. It happens to a lot of preachers, actually. I go to this church. Oh, I know they don't believe that, so I better not say nothing. I know this one believes it. I better not say nothing. I better steer clear because, I don't want to lose a paycheck. And they think they're being humble, but they're actually being full of pride. Because what did God tell them to do? Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Two souls? Yep, them too. Amen. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which it weakens the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights in the cloud. I will be like the Most High." So what's this second vice that we find? And we can find it in the book of James. I'll go back there in a minute. The first one was his pride. He said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. I'm going to do, even though God told me I can't, I'm going to do it anyways. I don't have to obey the word. I'll still get the victory. I don't need to consecrate my life at home, but I can still get in the spirit." Yeah, what, make yourself a Balaam again? Two full child hell more than you were before. Been better just to be a sinner. No. Back it up. What did his pride lead him to? Jealousy. He began to look. What did he say? He began to pinpoint those that he knew were above him. Right. And he saw those stars of God. And what he said? "I can't be content being God's right-hand man. I want to be in the throne." Sure. And what began to fuel from his pride? And I'm going to read a quote here. Just dirty, rotten, nasty jealousy. "I want to be above the stars of God or the sons of God. I want to sit in the congregations of the north." But as much as Trinitarians want to tell us, there's only one up there. And there ain't no room for the devil, I'll tell you that. He was the son of the morning. God put him in a position higher than anything else besides that. But see, just that one little spot was too much for him. He couldn't handle it. He had to be number one. And brother, sister, the devil will do the same to you. Like Brother Bram talks about, Joseph and his brothers. Said Joseph was a silver dollar. Said his brothers were pennies. And they got jealous of him. If they just would have said, praise the Lord for Brother Dollar here, and we'll just be faithful pennies, they wouldn't have gotten all that mess. But instead, everyone had to be a dollar. Everyone has to be this and that. And brother, sister, when we cross over, everyone's got their place in the kingdom. I don't care. I'm pretty sure Brother Bram's got a bigger portion in heaven than me. I haven't had the angel of the Lord come and speak through tongues through a man and tell me there's a large portion of heaven waiting on me. If you don't know, that's what happened to Brother Bram. That's right. But see, on that land, jealousy don't make it there. We all understand our spots. We find we're free. We just praise the Lord because we all have what the most glorious thing is satisfaction. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Lucifer couldn't do that. It drove him to jealousy. But what is, God don't play around with it. He said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look on thee. What's narrowly mean? You just focus in. What? You got, no, wait. And then we'll remember a trial. This guy did that? Huh? You mean the Holocaust? That devil. That's him. Yeah, just that one deceptive, full of pride. You just think of, we call it little guy syndrome, right? Guy who's this big but thinks he's this big. Or in the old cartoons, that little puppy dog, right? He's got big dog behind him, but he's tough. You know, he's tough. No, he's not. He's got the big dog behind him. Hallelujah. He's just full in his head. And that's, where did all of that inspiration come? From this one being we call Lucifer. He had it, but he forfeited it. So all the power, all the beauty, all the glory that he had, he sold it away because he couldn't just be content with what he had. And brother, sister, don't let the devil drive you to the same thing. You don't want what somebody else has. I'm here to tell you that. You can think all you want to. That brother's got it better than me. That sister's got it easier. This is better. No. That jealousy will drive you to the ground. It started in pride, but it leads to jealousy. Like when we read in the book of James, everybody looks at the rich and thinking, well, there'll be pride in their wealth. So James was trying to keep them humble, and that's true. He said, don't put no stock in your wealth, rich man. But that's only one side of the story. And, oh, you know, we don't got any rich people here, so. But the devil will tell you that you think brother so-and-so is rich. And you get jealous. You say, Lord, why don't you bless me that way? And that can be in the natural, it can be in the spiritual too. I've had it happen to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. I remember one time, I mean, I've been serving the Lord for years, and there was a sister in the service just started serving the Lord, and God moved on her in discernment and told her, man, what are you thinking? And I said, God, what's up with that? I've been serving all this time. How come that happened to me? And, oh, man, you talk about conviction hit me like that. It says, what do you care? The gospel's being preached. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Just look, it's the same with the disciples. They had the same thing. Those guys were full of pride till the Holy Ghost came, brother, sister. You might not think they were, but they were. Because the second they had a chance, they showed it. He said, hey, James. John, come up and say, you know, the disciple of love. Hey, James, what do you think about we go ask Jesus if we can sit on his throne? We won't tell them to the other disciples. And actually found out their mom was in on it. Trying to get those boys out front, you know. And sure enough, they had a big old scuffle about that, didn't they? Later on, John's like, wait a minute, these guys rejecting us. Hey, Jesus, all right, if I bring down fire and kill them all? Full of fiery, destructive jealousy. And later they said, hey, Master, by the way, we were walking the other day, and we heard somebody preach the word, and somebody got healed, but they don't follow the message, so we rebuked them. He said, no, no, no. He said, what are you doing? He said, no man can speak lightly of me that does a miracle in my name. He said, if they're not against this, they're for us. As long as they don't condemn the true word, let them go. Let them do what they... Who knows? They might just be Brother Penny. Praise the Lord. Be careful that you think that he's just Brother Penny and you're actually the Brother Penny. He's Brother Dollar. Maybe God just hadn't quite brought him to the full truth yet. Did I say that out loud in a message, church? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. What did he? I'm just going to read the quote so you know where I'm getting it from. I'm going to find it real quick here. And I'll come back to this. It's from the Church Age book. If you're familiar with Smyrna Church Age, Brother Branham says this. He said, now this is nothing against rich people, because God can save a rich man. Some of God's children are rich. But money can be such a snare not only to those who have it, but to those who don't have it. And in my experience, I've seen that more as a temptation than those that have it. Because I haven't met a billionaire or nothing like that, or maybe a millionaire or whatever, but I've yet to meet a man who doesn't pray or doesn't trust the Lord that's got money. But I've recognized people, this is going to come home fast, but that's all right, we're just going to tell the truth, who brother so-and-so helps him out. Man, he's just a good fella. You know, he just always is good. No, be careful, brother, sister. I'm going to buddy up to this guy because he'll probably give me free lunch, John. Isn't that just glorious? I'm so happy. I'm going to do, oh, and then he'll say something off the word, and you just say, oh, but precious brother, you know, and then go whisper, yeah, I probably don't agree with that either, but I don't want to. And then preach on some preacher for getting a meal ticket for a church he's going to, knowing that you're getting your meal ticket. If you're going to stand on the word, brother, sister, I hate to break it to you, you ain't going to be popular. You're not. You're going to make people mad. That what I just said there makes a lot of people angry. He said, you don't understand how hard I got it, brother. I got to get every dime I can. Well, if you'd serve the Lord and pay your tithes and do what you're supposed to, you'd have blessings from heaven anyways and take care of it. Every time I say that, it's somebody that just won't have enough faith to just do what the Word said. Brother said, and I ain't just saying that like I've always been blessed, like I'm, you know, like the devil's trying to tell people about Job, you know. He ain't never been through no trials. You know, he ain't never had no... No, I've had hardships, brother, sister. I've went and I drove... That's right. I went to a youth camp. And I was on my way and I looked at my bank account. I had enough to fill my tank. I had $1. $1. But I was going because the Lord told me to go. That's right. You know, oh man, we better stay home. No, the Lord told me to go. I'm going. Amen. If you're faithful and little and will give it to God, He will bless you. That's right. And that's naturally. But even spiritually, brothers and sisters, don't get jealous. Don't let pride stuff say, well, I'm not, you know, they're more spiritual. They're richer than me. They ought to help me more. You know, they got more time than I do, so they ought to invest more time into me. Everyone that complains about people never calling them usually don't call a soul. Because it just shows you, it's just rooted in the wrong thing. It's a vice of the devil. It's got them all scrambled up, and everyone else is bad but them. When we've all recognized that the real bad one is you. You're the worst. You're the worst of the worst. I'm the worst of the worst, at least in my perception. Just like I could tell you, the best woman in the world is my wife. And that's true because I said it. If he said it, there'd be something wrong with that. That's right. What's the truth for him is that... That woman's the best woman on the world. At least it better be, or we're going to be in trouble. That's right. Amen. Don't let jealousy get up. Don't let it, brother, if you're having a hard time, look, don't get jealous. That's just going to kill you. Naturally and spiritually, I don't know why I got to keep going that route. I'm not trying. But you naturally and spiritually, don't ever have that jealousy come up. It'll just kill your experience. Be content with what God has given you. And most of the time, you'd recognize if you just back it up for a minute, you're the reason you're in this mess anyways. Yeah. If you just would have done what God told you, 10, 15, I'm saying amen tonight. If I just would have done what God told me, I'd probably have plenty of money right now. But here we are, praise the Lord. Who knows, it might have been a snare for me. That's the faith I've got in the Lord, who cares? Because all that's going to burn up anyways. Actually, your dollars aren't worth nothing in the first place. They're running that in the ground so fast, before we know it, we'll be painting the walls with dollar bills. Before you think that's a fabrication, that's what happened in Germany after World War II. Sure, actually World War I as well. Everything broke. That's right. All right, let me finish that. Not only to those who have it, but to those who don't have it. Way back there in the first age, James cried out to those who were putting stock in wealthy people. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respects of persons. The poor there were trying to butter up the rich in order to get help rather than trusting in God. Don't do it, says James. You see how we don't read that? We just go right to that rich man so we can be jealous of him and say, humble yourself. How about you say, what about me? Why am I sitting here? Maybe I don't have pride, but I'm sure jealous. And that's just from the same old devil. Yep. Oh, man. Praise the Lord tonight. Shout and preach, and that's right. Don't do it. Money isn't everything. Money isn't the answer. And today, it is not the answer either. We have more wealth than we have ever had, and yet less is being accomplished spiritually. It's not with money that God works. He moves by His Spirit. And that movement of the Spirit comes only to a life consecrated to the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Coming out of 3rd Exodus, 1963. You got some more time tonight? I'm going to try to get moving. The fundamentalist today positionally knows what they are by intellectual conception of the Bible, but there's no spirit. They've rejected Joseph, turned him out. They want nothing to do with it. It's a bunch of holy rollers. We want nothing to do with it. They've excommunicated him, sold him out to the world. They were out of their fellowship. Now, by doing that, they were taken out of place, taken down into Egypt later on. Now, the story of this jealous brothers is certainly of great comparison with the spiritual side of it today. We are all aware of that. It's pure jealousy. Not pure. It's old, dirty, filthy jealousy. See, there's no purity in jealousy. See, it's nothing but filthy jealousy. When they see the same Bible and the nature of the same God that wrote the Bible vindicating himself and then turn that down without a reason, pure, well, not pure. As I said, it's dirty jealousy. Watching God heal the sick, raise up the dead, the same God that lived in the days of the apostles, the same gospel that they wrote for the spiritual journey is the same God that does the same thing. So they're nothing but jealous. Has excommunity, will not have among their people. See, run them off. And brother, sister, if God is ever going to move a church spiritually, and if you do not have the humility to hold on to that, the power of God will not stay around. If you begin to say, well, brother, so, you know, you begin to judge a brother or a sister by where he goes to church. There's a truth to that if the man's way off on his doctrine and they got no problems with that. There's something wrong with that man because the Holy Ghost will lead him away from that. But just because they don't have this or that doesn't mean it ain't happening. It doesn't mean that God ain't going to work on them. It doesn't mean that they're not where they need to be. They're right where they need to be because if you look at yourself, you weren't where you need to be either.
Amen.
If we want the power of God, we cannot let jealousy, pride, envy, strife, if any of that gets into the service, you can forget it.
Right.
It'll grieve the Holy Spirit right like that.
Amen.
If you want to speak in tongues so you can say we're the best church that speakers in tongues that they've ever done seen. No, it won't work. That's right. If you want to interpret gifts of miracles and discernments and wisdom and knowledge, these glorious things that God has put into the church. We have them. That's not pride to say that. It's pride to say that we could have had it without the grace of God. No, we couldn't have. The grace of God has been shed abroad to us, and that's how God manifests His love out. And as long as that's our motive in manifesting those things, those manifestations continue to roll. That's right. As long as you actually care about the people you're praying for, God will move on you supernaturally. That's right, but if you begin to think, well, this will show that our church is better than theirs. Look at us, man. We are real believers. You're done. You're being influenced by the devil. Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Amen. Being flat and plain for a minute here. We've got to be sold out to doing things the way God said. Should you ever get any farther off the ground than the ground? No. Should you exalt Christ to the highest mountain, the highest hill, the highest galaxy you can ever find? Yes. Should you believe in every miracle that the Bible said? Yes. Should you do it so you can tell how every other church don't have it, but we do? Okay. Everything you're looking for will come to be if you'll just keep these motives out. Keep these things out. Why? It keeps you free in the Spirit. It keeps you from thinking about what brother so-and-so is doing. I don't care what brother so-and-so is doing. What am I supposed to be doing in the Spirit right now?
Sure.
That's why I desire that. There's a lot of ministers, and look, I've been under this before, where they don't really want the people to do anything. They don't really want the Spirit to move around because they have a hard time controlling that with their vice. I feel like I've got the other problem. Can I just be honest with you?
Yeah.
I've wanted people to do it more than myself so many times. And the Holy Spirit's moved on you, don't lie. And we've been taught so long to be afraid. that we just kind of, well, maybe it's for somebody else. But we're learning. Praise the Lord. We're learning. We're learning. That's the Holy Spirit. And He wants to use me. He cares about me. And I look, brother, sister, you're so used to listening to your flesh. It's all right, sis. Don't worry about it. You're so used to listening to your flesh. When that moves on you, it's God. Okay? Because you normally don't think to do anything like that. The Lord, I'm just going to stand here. I'm just going to praise the Lord. Maybe if I get moving real good, I'll actually raise my hands. Then the Holy Spirit starts moving on you. And you think, well, maybe I'll start looking. Right then, shut that devil up and do what the Spirit said. See, that's the quickness that God's looking for out of His people, that it's the Word, do it. Amen. And God had to rebuke His prophet the same way. He got to the place where he was always looking for a vision. And the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, the apostles of the days of old, I just gave them a nod and they took off. Why do I got to push you everywhere? He said, I've tried to be careful, but the Lord showed me that I've got to operate in faith. That He sent the Word, He's fulfilling the Word. This is the prophet talking, brother, sister. Don't think you're going to do it some other way. It's a battle against unbelief.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if you just keep it out, it's the Lord. Is your heart right? Are you jealous? Are you full of pride? No, you're not. I'm trusting you as a Christian tonight. You're not. So when the Holy Spirit moves on you, do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's just everybody wants to keep it in order. What are you talking about? We're so out of order because where's the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
What's church order for? The Holy Ghost. Keep us out of looking at the clock saying, why is he still preaching tonight? And quit worrying about our neighbor and why they look funny when they came to church. And how in the world did that sister wear that? You know, get that out of your head and just praise the Lord.
Amen.
I love preaching to a group of people where you can tell. And we've been there. We've been there. Where every single person is worried about the Lord Jesus and that's it. And you know what? That's where things happen.
Amen.
That's where we've left services, and I know you all can say amen, where you know every devil been defeated tonight. Every sickness healed, every captive was freed, every person full of the Holy Ghost again. Hallelujah. What hinders that is just a little unbelief. And we get caught off guard because, as Brother Bram said, he said, you're a nice, sweet, humble group right now. But what'd he tell you? Devil won't leave it that way. Man. I'm trying not to go long, Dad. I was thinking 40 minutes tonight. You know, I got a real easy thought. Boom, right down. The Holy Spirit, He's talking to us. He said, you got that nice humble group. He said, but the devil won't leave it that way. He said, if he can't get you to fight against each other, how's he going to do that? Pride, envy, jealousy. If he can't get that, what he'll do? He said, he'll bring someone else. Just don't. Now listen to the whole quote. We get the us four no more, right? Oh, somebody else came. Somebody else came, Brother John. What are we getting? Brother Ronnie, somebody else is in your pew. Better run. Run for the hills. Don't they know that's my pew? It's the first time they came. He said if he can't get you to come against each other that way, he said he'll bring in an outsider and he'll shoot him with that poison. He said, and he'll start going through the church that way. He said, but what did he say? He said, don't take no sides with it. And of course, blast him and everybody else gossip about him. No. Don't do the same thing that they're doing. He said, pray for that person.
Yeah.
Believe that either they'll become one of you by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost will drive them away.
Yeah.
And I've rested on that even as a pastor, brother, sister. I don't try to drive no one and I don't try to egg them all in as well. You understand me now?
Yeah.
There's some that'll just, oh, whatever, just let it go and they won't preach certain things. They'll just say, no, I'm not that way. No, I'm going to preach the Word. Whether you like it or not. But I'm also not going to like force you out if you just got something you don't like about me. That's okay. You know what? There's a lot of things I don't like about me. So we're on common ground. Praise the Lord. I really wish I didn't spit so much so I have to clean this iPad all the time. But that's just the way it is. Hallelujah. It's on my glasses and everything. Isn't that right? That's right. Your son was here. Hit me right in the glasses. What? All right. Let me finish on this. You loving the Lord tonight? I hope more than anything, look, this is just a little hometown, you know, that we're all free from this stuff. That anytime these thoughts come, don't even entertain it.
Right.
Anytime you think that, brother, man, why don't he do that? Don't do that. Don't. Because if you'll just praise the Lord, you know what? Brother so-and-so will help you when you need it.
Yep.
I love watching it when I watch somebody really put their faith in the Lord. And they don't got no plan Bs. They ain't trying to do. They just put it all in the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm just going to do what you said. I don't know how I'm going to pay this tithe, but you told me to. And all of a sudden, you know it. You've been there. You've probably been on both ends of it. Go out there. Hey, brother, just just felt led of the Lord today. There you go. Just walk away. It's good, you know. And you know what that does? It helps both sides. Because then you don't get a complex. You don't think somebody's judging you. It was the Lord. It was the Lord taking care of us. Amen. It's just like socialism. Everybody wants to be socialist anymore. That ain't Christianity, brother, sister. And don't you believe that lie. The socialism is government makes us all give our money in. And then, you know, they give it to the poor helpless. Yeah, what, 10%? And the other 90 just disappeared? No, where do you think that $40 million house came from? I like how all these socialists, they're out for that poor guy. Really? Is that why you spent $1 billion on a campaign? Why don't you go give that to the poor, starving people? All right. But what's Christianity? When the apostles came, it said the people came and they gave to the ministry because they felt led of the Spirit. And then they took it and they gave to each one that it could have equity. Look, that took a lot of faith in the people and the apostles. A lot more faith than what most people got. But they gave it to the apostles and said, do what you want. They didn't go check on, no, you know, Peter, he gave that one guy 10. Why do you give the only guy 5? Don't worry about that. God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm talking money, but look, apply it to everything. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves somebody that comes to church to pray just because they like to. Amen. Because they want to give to God. God loves to see somebody that's willing to venture out in faith and do something that everybody else is afraid of because he likes a cheerful giver. He likes someone that says, well, I feel kind of led. I don't really know, but I'll go pray for that person. Come on. We're looking for the gift of healing and you don't even know what it looks like. What did Brother Branham do with it? He prayed for people and they got healed. What do you think it's going to look like if it comes on you? Oh, I'll just stay in here. No, you want to prophesy and heal the same. Pick a gift, you know. Glory to God. What are we doing tonight, Brother Dan? Don't be bound by jealousy, pride. Be free in the Spirit. In church especially, but anywhere you go, live free in the Spirit. There's no room to be jealous of anyone. There's no reason to have pride in yourself. If you could just always recognize you're completely dependent on the Lord, you'll be just fine. Amen. You know why? Because even though I'm helpless, I know who I'm dependent on. Amen. He's the creator of everything. You know what? If he wanted, he could create that money right in my pocket. If he wanted, he could take this leg and make it healed. You know? So, and I can't. I don't know how to do it. But he does. Amen. Amen. Sure. I've got this depression. I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't know what to do with it. He does. Amen. He's the well of joy. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Adoption, 1960. All right, listen, I'm going to close on this and then we'll just praise the Lord tonight. When a church is groaning under the persecution of the outside world, believing on the Lord Jesus, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is just as real as to us as it was to Pentecost, how they groan and cry under labor pains. But when they are born and positionally born into the kingdom of God, then the Holy Ghost has set in the church, some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists. Then he gives into their speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, knowledge, wisdom, gifts of healing, all kinds of miracles. To acknowledge that that's the word is not pride. That's what God has given to us. Amen. When the church, now the purpose, this is out of the adoption now. Now the purpose of doing this, the church is always trying to take somebody else's corner. But don't do that. You can never raise corn in Ephraim's corner if you're Manasseh. You've got to take your place in Christ. Positionally take it. Oh, it gets deep and rich when we get here. How God puts one in the church to speak with tongues. And I want to skip a little bit of this because, brother, sister, if you don't care about your position in Christ, you're messing up. You missed it somewhere. You ought to care what you're supposed to do for the kingdom. Me as an individual. And that's why I think sometimes God breaks us down into little groups so we recognize, wait a minute, I'm part of this. Me, the individual. And sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying it, we go to a big revival meetings, there's hundreds, thousands of people. You could kind of just float in somewhere. But when you're down to like 5 or 10, you know if you're in the Spirit or not. You know, people know if you ain't here. And that's just not naturally. That's spiritually as well. Amen. And if you ain't concerned with your position, you're not trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to serve a church. You're trying to serve an idea. You're trying to serve some motive. But if you get a person that's really down in the nitty gritty, say, Lord, I want to know what I'm supposed to do for the kingdom.
Amen.
God will show it to you. Stay humble before Him. That's right. Just walk with Him and say, Lord, praise Your name. I want to see greater miracles than I've ever seen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I mean that. Now, how's that going to happen? Is when the whole bride of Christ recognizes what they're supposed to do for the kingdom, and don't worry about brother so-and-so who you think's more spiritual. Don't worry about brother so-and-so who thinks you're dirt and he's got a big head. Forget about all that and say, Lord, am I making You pleased? When it came, remember Jesus, John was on Jesus' bosom, and Jesus was loving on him. I mean, he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Are you the disciple Jesus loved?
Amen.
Amen. And what did Peter? That jealousy came up again. He said, what about this man? What's he going to do? I'll tell you why you know it's jealousy, because look at the doctrine it came up with afterwards. He said, what if he tarries till I come? What's that to thee? Follow thou me. Before he got the Holy Ghost, what was the doctrine they started spreading? He ain't going to die, guys. He ain't going to die. Aren't you jealous, Brother John? He ain't going to have to die. We're going to have to all die, and he don't have to die.
That's right.
Then he got the Holy Ghost, and he got the truth of the Word. And he knew, John's going to see the coming. But you know what? I already done seen it, because I was on Mount Transfiguration. And he wrote about it in 1 Peter. He said, we were on the mountain. We heard the voice. That's right. We heard the resurrection. We saw it with our own eyes. And we know in whom we've believed. And even though I've seen all of that, why do I know it's true? Because we have a more sure word of prophecy that every written scripture in that Bible we watched come to being right in front of our eyes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He lost his jealousy and he says, I'm not, don't even crucify me this way. He said, turn me upside down. I ain't worthy to die like the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think I'm just... There, this is the one I wanted to read. Pergamon Church Age, this one he preached in 1960. And just always keep humble. Now, everyone in the church has something to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And believe that. You have something to do. But don't never pull it aside or something else. Let it blend in right with the rest of the church. You met those people. They might even find their calling. But what's the first thing they do? Look at what I found. Isn't this glorious? And they begin to pull. And what do they begin to do? Try to be the pastor. That's right. We've been under it. You've seen it. I've all seen it. We can lie all we want to. We've seen it. And you know what? God might have started it. Well, what would you do with it? Did you get behind and say, Lord, we're going to pull the same boat? Now, if a man leaves the word, you leave the man. But as long as he's trying to stand for the word, praise the Lord, sis. You know, praise the Lord, brother. God moved on. Praise the Lord. Hopefully he ain't got full of pride and jealousy as well. And if we'd all get rid of that, you see how the whole thing just keeps moving forward. The only thing that runs it off is pride. I'm the pastor. I have to be the most spiritual. I don't care, brothers. I want you to be more spiritual than me. Is that okay to say? I know I ought, if I'm leading the way, I ought to be spiritual as well, but I'm not here so jealous that if you pray through, praise the Lord. If I didn't, well, God have mercy on me, but praise the Lord for brother who did.
Amen.
You press right on through, brother, sister. I don't care about having the worst night in the world. You have the greatest night you've ever had. Hallelujah. Everyone in the church has something to do, but don't never pull it aside of something else. Let it blend right with the rest of the church. It's for God. My battery's about dead. I guess it's telling me to shut up. All things, see, don't everybody want to speak with tongues, everybody interpret. Try to do something good. And just keep being good. Hold no malice, no grudges. Don't let any bitterness, no matter how bad the person is, how bad they talk about you. Don't never think evil in your heart against them. Because right there, the devil will set right in, work up something right there. Just keep it all covered with godly love, confession, and making right, and do good to those who would do evil to you. If you only do good to those who do good to you, why Jesus said, don't the publicans the same? See, the sinners, anybody can be good to those that's good to them. But be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would not do nothing for you. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you. And that's the way you keep all the bitterness out of your heart. And you're always in love with everybody then, as long as you stay in love. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
Say, Lord, just keep me away from that. Keep me in the love of God. And it didn't, we're not making excuses, but Lord, how am I going to help that brother? I ain't going to help him by hating him. Hate is of the devil. Love is of God. The only thing that can help that man is love. And real love will stay with the Word. The real love of God will say, come back to the Word. The real love of God will say to a man who ain't got the Holy Ghost, brother, get it! Get it before it's too late. Don't worry about that, pastor. I just had to lead a man that way. He said, don't worry. I know they did this. I know they did. But don't worry about none of that, brother. What about you? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Well, I don't know. Well, then that, what are we worried about? As I close tonight, and I didn't mean to go this long. I hope you believe me. I had a Mormon one time talk to me in school. And he found out we actually had a tornado drill, so we were sitting together for a while, and we got talking about Melchizedek. And I was trying to bring it out of the Bible. And, of course, you understand, if you know anything about Mormon doctrine, they don't have a clue what you're talking about when you say Melchizedek. Because though we're using the same word, we got a whole different definition. They got a whole priesthood built up off that. We've got the real priesthood, which is one man, the man Christ Jesus. Anyways, got going back and forth a little bit. Well, then he came and brought me this scripture about explaining the Book of Mormon and things. And I showed him how the Bible already answered it and things. And we went back a little bit, and I just said, look, stop for a minute. Let me ask you something. How long have you been going to the Mormon church? He said, my whole life. I said, how do you get saved? He said, I don't know. I said, what's the point? What's the point of all this? You see, you're telling me that you've been in this all your life and you just don't know how to get saved? What else do you want to know about how to get saved? You see how that brings the Lord right on the scene? Because at the end of the day, a man's got to recognize he's lost. And everyone's got voices. We've got man-made religions. We've got these ideas. We've got these little things. But what happens is the presence of God comes. And then we recognize, oh man, that religion ain't going to work. This man actually knows what's in my heart. Just like the men that tried to hide from Jesus and say that they weren't adulterers. He said, wait a minute. If you even look at a woman, see, exposed it. How much more when he's in his fullness on the white throne judgment? Brother Branham said, cut me open, fill me with sulfur, and burn me alive before you let me go to that white throne judgment. Just like the man that crossed and he said, you know, I used to think those things I did were just little bitty white lies. He said, they were great big lies there. He said, but what happened is he went to approach. He tried. He knew he was wrong. He knew he was guilty. He was waiting to hear those words, depart from me, you filthy varmint, into the everlasting darkness. What happened? Jesus came on the scene. You might find yourself in bitterness and jealousy and all these things and just feel like lower than dirt, full of pride and stuff. But that ain't how you're going to get out of it, brother, sister. The only way you're going to get out of it is acknowledging that, yes, you are that. But what is He? Amen. He's your Savior. What is He? He's the one that took your place and He breaks you free from all that. You don't have to identify with that anymore. You can identify with Him. Think about moving in the supernatural. You can't move in the supernatural if you're in the flesh because that's natural. You've got to go somewhere else. And how can you get there? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the voice said, Father, as Jesus came, He said, it was sweeter than any mother's voice I ever heard. He said, Father, yes, He did those things. He is a liar. He is a thief. He is, you run the list down. He said, but Lord, He stood for me. And now I'll stand for Him. What else do you want to hear, brother, sister? At the end of the day, this is what gets rid of pride and jealousy and all these things. You know, what are you doing when you do that? You're looking at somebody else compared to you. But when you get a group of people that say, Lord, there's one thing I want to hear. Come thou, good and faithful servant. Come into the joys of the Lord. If you get a whole group of people to believe that, I believe that's what the bride's coming into right now. To where each one of them saying, Lord, that's the only thing I want to hear. Am I a good and faithful servant? What did He tell them? He said, let's stand together. What did He tell them? When He said, you do the will of your masters, He said, don't act like you've done anything. He said, we're unworthy servants. He said, just some few minutes before that, He said, I don't call you servants because the servants don't know what they do. I call you friends. So He told them their position, but He said, when you do my will, humble yourself. Become lower than what you actually know you are so that I can be glorified. Is that your heart's desire tonight? Do you feel His presence here with us? Saying, Lord, help me. Help me by your Spirit. Go ahead and praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord Jesus. Let's surrender all. I think that'll be fitting for this. See, Dad. Go ahead. Just the chorus. And I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. sing that again tonight with all your heart. Sing it to Him.
I surrender.
Just surrender it with all your heart. Say, Lord, take complete control tonight.
I surrender.
Lord, I put my heart on your altar. I surrender all my love to you.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
Chorus again.
I surrender.
Mean it with all your heart. Lord Jesus, we surrender to you, Lord.
I surrender. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. All to thee,
you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Savior, I surrender.
Dad plays that. Let's bow our heads before the Lord with every head bowed. Think of those words as they're being played again from the depths of your soul, brother, sister. The words come cutting, it's come strong, it's come from all kinds of angles, and I know it was Him because I didn't know we were going to do this tonight. And it's been a different service, but I believe you're a believer. I look around, I don't see people who don't know different. You know the Word tonight. What's the Lord trying to do? Get the vices out of your life. The things that shackle you from victory. The things that shackle you from moving into the Spirit. There's no pride in this room. We've all been shackled by the devil at some point. You might have come tonight, but look, we've all been there. We've all been delivered by the same God. Wherever you find yourself, if you're shackled under a load of sin, would you raise your hand and say, Lord, forgive me. Set me free tonight. Don't have any pride about it. If you got pride, it's either great big or it ain't none. That's why we raise our hands. It's a surrender. It's I give it up, Lord. I know I had it, but I give it to you. God bless you, saints. Oh, hallelujah. Just get it all. Just all of it. Just say, Lord, every bit, all your past, all the hardships, all the excuses that you've made, just let it all be burnt up by the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, what a presence of God. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, I know it's a trying time. I know, but it ain't no excuse. The Word's the overcomer. Hallelujah. And the Word's here with us tonight. The man Christ Jesus still lives. He sent the Holy Ghost. He identifies with us in this day. Surrender all your heart to Him, brother, sister. Christian friend, you just want a fresh pouring out. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him. Say, how do I know? How do I know? You'll know. How do you know you had the Holy Ghost first time? You knew. How do you get filled again? Oh, you'll know, brother, sister. The second you get all, look, that pressure's built on us all the time. But God's allowed it for a purpose. What's the purpose of God letting the pressures of life come on us? It's to drive us to Him. He said, I'm God and I'm a jealous God. What's He jealous of? You. He wants you. That's the righteous jealousness of God. Not what that perversion the devil came up with. Comparing this to that and this to that. No, He loved you with a love beyond all our comprehension. Hallelujah. Just as we go down memory lane thinking of how good the Lord's been to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love Him with all your heart tonight? Just keep surrendering. Just you pray your own way. Just pray all right on out there. The Lord knows your heart. I love seeing people get right with God. It does me good. I love when I don't even have to make an altar call and you just go ahead and do it. That's the way it's supposed to be, brother, sister. We shouldn't have to beg and plead and pull and all these things. It's just the age we live in. It's like the prophet of God many times. He said, I really shouldn't have to do this. We shouldn't even make altar calls. They're not even in the Bible. It says, as many as believed receive the word. As long as you believe it, receive it right there tonight. Some of you already did. You just think it's a feeling, but it wasn't. That was God coming your way. That was God setting you free. And yeah, it's going to make you emotional. Hallelujah. You don't tell me that Barabbas, when he heard those words, thinking he was about to die, say, you're free, boy. Go wherever you want. Don't tell me he didn't have some smiles as he left there. And brother, sister, that was you and me. Be careful not to just keep running off, but turn around and look behind you and see that bleeding, bloody man standing there. Barabbas saying, why am I going free? That man's taking your place. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you happy for that tonight? Isn't he due all your love? Isn't he due all your time, all your effort? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, you might be feeling godly sorrow. And that's the Bible. That's what it told. But don't forget the rest. Godly sorrow leads us to repentance. What? To admit that we're wrong, but Lord, we need a change. It leads you to that. But not repentance to be repented of, but the glory of God is now in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's brought you back to get you back where you need to be and raise you into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for hearing the prayers of this people, Lord. And as I know you've spoken to us tonight, may each one just continue to raise in the Spirit away from all the trials of this life, away from all the thoughts of the devil, and be free in the Spirit of God, Lord. Thank you for sending your word. Thank you for healing us of our diseases. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that you promised you'd never leave us or forsake us. And here we are in the darkest of ages, and Lord, your word is still true, and you're still with us. And you'll never leave us. You'll actually go take us with you, Lord. Thank you so much for the promise. Lord, I bring these souls to you tonight as trophies of this message, trophies of Christians that are serving you faithfully, Lord, that they'll be there on that resurrection, that no matter what the devil does, he can't talk these out of following the word. And I thank you for that, Lord. Bless them, Lord Jesus. May the devil be defeated on every side when they leave today. May he have no grounds to find any pride in them, any jealousy, any hatred, but may he just find a well of love that he don't know what to do with, that he can bring all the trials he wants to, and they still walk victorious in the Spirit. Grant it to each Christian tonight. Do what no man can do, Lord, and be glorified in every heart that's here. Don't let a one of them miss it, Lord. Don't let one of us, Lord, even the lives they influence, may it get to their souls. May it bring many hearts to your kingdom. As we know that the end of all things is soon, let us be diligent. Let us be faithful. Let us not worry about what someone else needs to do, but may we find what we're supposed to do for the kingdom and be as faithful as we can. May we not argue about who's got one talent, who's got five, and who's got 10. May we go take them and use them for the kingdom, Lord. Don't let us just go bury it in a root of bitterness, but let us invest it into the kingdom by love. Grant to each one tonight, we pray. In that name that can never fail, the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen, amen. As you feel His presence here tonight, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel the liberty of the Spirit. Do you feel Him here? You feel the shackles fall off? Be careful to praise Him, brother, sister. Careful to lift your heart to Him. Say, Lord, thank you for exposing that devil out of my life. Thank you, Lord, for driving him as far from the east as from the west. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for renewing our vision tonight. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you. That's it, brother, sister. That's the atmosphere that shakes the devil. That's the one that makes him cower into corners and start giving you thoughts about work tomorrow and thoughts of... That's the devil. He's getting desperate. Just keep on pressing. Watch him fall apart. Hallelujah! Do you have need of healing? Do you have need of deliverance? Do you have... Take it right now by faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, it's yours, brother, sister. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your... It's really that simple, brother, sister. You surrender it. God pours it on you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Is there anyone that would want prayer tonight? Would you come right now? Come right now. Just be coming up with bulldog faith. I feel to challenge you. Just bring that need right before the Lord. Say, Father, this is your word. You've placed it in my heart, and I'm believing for it tonight. Is there anyone else? Come now, please. I've held you long, but I didn't mean to, but the Holy Spirit's moving right now. Is there anyone else? Don't have any pride about it. If you have a need, come. Oh, hallelujah. You've got your need. Praise Him. Thank the Lord. That's right. Sister's got a need she's bringing forward. Praise the Lord. Brother, too. Is there anyone else? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love it. I can feel the anointing of the Lord responding already. Are you getting more sensitive to that, brother, sister? Where I don't even got to say it anymore. You already know it. Hallelujah. What a presence. It just keeps getting... See, that's the faith of the people keep rising. To where really all things are possible. Oh, glory to God. Let me pray with these. You pray with all your heart. Say, Lord, give them their desire tonight. We believe with them tonight, Lord. Hallelujah.
Two of us would agree on anyone. Thank Lord you'd hear us, and we pray you'll break up this fallow ground and expose the enemy. Lord, we've done what we can as humans. We've reached out, we've tried, Lord. We need you. Take the Holy Ghost and pray and do what no man can do. We lift him to you, Father. We committed the whole thing into your hands now. Bring restoration, we pray, Lord. We believe that they'll be there. Satan's come in. We expose him in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring deliverance, we pray. Bring peace, bring love and joy according to thy word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Pray for guidance and leading of the Spirit. Let us ever be sensitive to what we would have to do if you would leave us. Help us, Lord, we pray. Give us clear vision. May we never be in blur. We can't have full faith, Lord. Help us to just stand on the word and believe it in our hearts. Give us strength, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sis. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Gather in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We find a brother at the right spot. Godly sorrow has led him to this repentance. Lord, he acknowledges what he is without you. But Lord, may you begin to raise now in his heart what he is in you. May the blood destroy the old man away as we feel your presence right here, Lord. Break all the yokes in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you've been exposed. Walk in dry places, devil. We cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Claim this vessel for the kingdom. Fill this man with the Holy Ghost, Lord, and use him as a mighty man of God. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray. We bind the devil away from him wherever he would go, Lord, that there be a witness. There be a witness in that school, Lord, of a real born-again, Holy Ghost-filled man. That, Lord, the devil wouldn't be able to touch him. But he'd spread that word wherever he goes. Bless this home. Use it for your glory, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He never fails, brother, sister. Lord Jesus, thank you. Oh, praise him, brother, sister. Praise him. What a presence of God. Rejoice in your deliverance. Rejoice in freedom. Rejoice in your healing tonight. Oh, just lay it all out there. Let those loving arms of Jesus Christ pull you back to the kingdom. Back to that Shekinah glory you long for. That place of perfect peace. Oh, hallelujah. Don't stumble under the simplicity of it. Because that presence that you want is right here. That's the God we serve. That's the one that loves us. Oh, Jesus. And he's taking the service. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. What a presence tonight, brother, sister. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Just keep on pressing right in there. Don't let the devil come in. No way to say, Lord, you promised that he's sealed out. I'm not giving him the time of day. Lord, I'm listening to your voice. I'm listening to your word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you see that need fulfilled already, brother, sister? Can you see that promise as reality as Abraham did, calling those things that are not as though they were? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I just see that bride walking in step. It just thrills my soul. She's invincible. Devil don't have a clue what to do. He's brought out every doctrine he can. He's created every website. He can't get him off of it. Oh, hallelujah. He's brought every temptation. He's brought every hardship. He's caused every division. Yet you stand on the word tonight. You're a walking miracle.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, rejoice in the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, we got to praise him. Give me an F, Dad. Hallelujah. Well, I heard an old, old story of how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
I heard about his throwing of his precious blood's atoning, that I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Believe it now, give him praise.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his
freedom. Give him praise now, get in the Spirit of God.
He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the...
Just sing that chorus again.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the...
One more time with all your heart now.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever.